Good morning. My name is Jason Davis. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Charleston Baptist. So I am not Pastor Kevin. Pastor Kevin and his family are on vacation. They're in Florida, which is a great place to be right now because apparently that's not where the hurricane is going. But do be in prayer for his family as they are supposed to be traveling back tomorrow or Tuesday, or they might just need to stay there. We'll see what happens. We never know. I was talking to a gentleman earlier this morning, and we were talking about the storm and how sometimes we can get so engrossed in the storm, right? Is anybody like that? You're always on the Weather Channel or one of the local news, and you watch it, you get so amped up. They do a really good job of keeping you engaged to talk about the same thing for hours and hours and hours and hours. It's amazing how good of a job they do of that. But I want to encourage you, take a little break. Let the anxiety come down a little bit. Still know that God is in control. No matter what happens, He is in control. And we are going to be talking about that this morning. If you'll see your bulletin, on the back there is an outline for you to help keep you on track if I bore you too much. It'll help you catch on to me. But there is a mistake there. Psalm 146 is a great psalm, but that's not the psalm we're actually going to be in today. We're going to be in Psalm 96. It's on page 554. If you need a Bible, there's a Bible in the under the seat in front of you. You can use that Bible. So my question, I have a couple questions this morning. You'll see on your outline, there's one. Why should God be worshipped? But before we get there, I want you to think about, why do we gather on Sunday morning? Why do you come here on a Sunday morning? I mean, because as the world is becoming more and more aware of, there's a lot of things we could do on a Sunday morning besides gather together on a Sunday morning and sing about blood. I mean, that's kind of a, if you kind of break it down and kind of get it out of church lingo, we just sang about a man dying and shedding his blood. Like, if we stop to think about it, that is kind of weird. Why do we as a group gather together to sing about this? So the psalm this morning is really going to help us focus in on, why are you here? Why am I here? Why would we spend our time doing this? Is it to help others? Because a lot of you serve on a Sunday morning. A lot of you serve in teaching. A lot of you serve with our students across the board, with our babies all the way up to college. Many of you serve in adult ministries. You serve around the church. So some of you come and is it because you're serving? Is that why you're here? Or are you here because it's about you and you need something? Like, that's why you're here, because you just feel there's a need. Maybe it's you've been guilted into coming, or maybe you're here because a parent has made you come, or is it because your own needs? Why are you here? Some of it is to help us to feel better. Maybe, is that why we are here? Is that why we gather? So we can just help one another feel better about each other. Well, I want to encourage you this morning that church, our Sunday morning gathering, is not about you. It's not about me. It's not even about feeling better about ourselves. It's about the glory of God, and we'll see that in the psalm this morning. It says, when we understand who God is, we will truly be able to worship Him. When we understand who God is, then this Sunday morning gathering has much more meaning. When it's not about me, when it's not about serving others, when it's about the glory of God, this Sunday morning gathering is so much deeper, so much richer. It is worth the sacrifice. Many of you sacrifice every Sunday morning to get here. I know, because my family is part of that sacrifice. It is a job for us to get here. Many of you understand that. Maybe it's hard for you to get here because of physical needs. Or maybe you're like my family, where it's hard for us to get here because we got three little kids trying to get out the door. Everybody's got to be clothed. Everybody's got to be fed, mostly fed. You know, they can last for a couple hours, but mostly fed. You know, so we all have our difficulties. Or, man, what if it's raining? Man, it makes it really sad. That's a hard sacrifice to get out in that rain, right? I know sports, I hesitate to talk about sports too much because some people get really into football. Has anybody been glad football season started? Yeah, some of you are really glad. I'll just be honest, in my household, it's not really a big deal. It was just another weekend. My wife is not a football fan, and I'm a I'm a poser. Like I kind of like it. I'll talk with the guys about it or whoever, but I'm not a big fan. We make huge sacrifices, or I've seen many people make huge sacrifices to be there. But is it worth the sacrifice to be here? Is it really worth it to be here on a Sunday morning? And as we look at this psalm this morning, we'll see that it is greatly worth it. It is so worth it because of not you and I, not because Charleston Baptist does it so well. It's not because that we had this awesome facility, but it's because of who God is. That's the beauty of God. No matter where we're at in all the world, that we can gather together to worship one God. I've been in Honduras, and I've been in Mexico. I've been in Honduras. It was a place where there was no electricity. There was no heating in the air, and we went during a hot time of year. There was mosquitoes. There was dogs running through the aisles. If you've ever been to a South American country and you've been to a worship service, you know what I'm talking about. It's just different culture. But the beautiful thing is that we were there not to worry about a dog in our midst, not to worry about the AC, not to worry about a song, but to glorify the Lord. And it was beautiful. So again, is it worth the sacrifice this morning? I want you to think about that. Count the cost. Is it worth being here to gather together? And I would say absolutely. But why? Why should God be worshipped? We're going to read Psalm 96 together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before all the earth. Verse 10. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Yes, the Lord is established. The Lord is established. It shall never, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Here we see the beauty of God. We see the glory of God. And he is worthy to be worshipped. You are not wasting your time this morning. As we gather together here, as we gather around the world to worship a God who is the Creator God, we do not gather in vain. You do not waste your time. It is worth the sacrifice to be here on a Sunday morning. For those that are in college, it is worth the sacrifice to wake up when no one else is telling you to get here. For parents that have small kids, it is worth the sacrifice to get them fed, to fight through, to get them here. For those that are elderly or having difficulties, health problems, it is worth the sacrifice to make the trek to church, to gather together. Why? Because he is worthy to be praised. His holiness. Why should God be worshipped? Because of his holiness. The first blank there. We'll see that this psalm doesn't really speak specifically about his holiness, but the entire psalm does. The entire psalm is talking about his holiness and his that he is set apart, that he is worthy to be praised, that he is different from all others. I mean, we see that he is different from, it says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in verse 4. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. He is holy. He is set apart. The idols that we set up in our life are worthless. But the implication here is that he is not. The implication here is that he is worthy, that he is holy. Isaiah 6 says this, and this beautiful vision of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two covered his face, and with two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And sometimes, I don't know, for me, I can get distracted by that. The seraphim, the cherubim, what did that look like and how magnificent that was? But that's not the point. We read on in verse 3. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." He's the one that should be praised. Even though we see this magnificent creature with all these wings and how glorious that would look, but that creature turns and praises God. And you and I are magnificent creatures. If you like biology, if you like science like I do, you've learned about anatomy and you've learned about the body. And I learned about nature and how glorious it is, but I learned about how intricate we are made and how amazing our bodies are. That pales in comparison to who God is. I love science because it always pushes me to the praise and worship of God. And we look at these magnificent creatures, and all they can do is sing glory to God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When we look at Psalm 96, the whole psalm is full of his glory. So why should God be worshipped? Because of his holiness. Number two, because of his glory and strength. Verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 says this, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." He's saying, give to God what is his. It is his glory. It is his strength. There are many times we like to feel like we are strong. When things are going good in our life, we're like, man, I've done a good job. I've been strong. But here it is talking about give God the glory that is due to him. Ascribe to the Lord. Give it to him, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Let us not go before him empty-handed. We do nothing to be saved. It is by the blood that we sang about. It is by the grace that we have sung about that we are saved. But in light of that salvation, we bring sacrifices to him. We bring our life to him. Paul says that we are to be a living sacrifice. That our whole life is to be an example of sacrificing to the Lord. That we don't come to the Lord empty-handed. He's the one that saved us. Absolutely. Don't mishear what I'm saying. That God is the one that saves. We bring nothing to the table about our salvation. But after we are saved, we're to bring our life. We're to be that living sacrifice to bring before him. He also, the reason we are to worship him is because he is creator. See, he is created. In verse 3, we see, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. That he has done these works. And we also see in verses 11 and 12, it says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fills it. Let the field exalt and everything in it. That even creation cries out to the glory of God. Again, why are you here? Why am I here? Is it worth the sacrifice? Absolutely. Even the creation will cry out to God in worship. He is creator. As creator, he gets to make the rules. You don't get to make the rules. I don't get to make the rules. He is the creator, and so he has decided. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He is the one that is worshipped. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." For him. That the things we get to enjoy, the creation that we enjoy, the creation that you get to enjoy, is for him. It's for his glory. So when we're in creation, as we are enjoying it, we get to glorify him. We get to honor him. Because he is worthy to be worshipped. Why else should we worship God? He is the judge. Verse 13. It says, "Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." That he is the judge. He is the final decision. And so here is also a call to come to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, there will be a time of judgment. There will be a time of reckoning where we all have to have an account for our life. And if our life isn't accounted by the blood of Jesus, then we will stand before the judge and we will be condemned. Because guess what? He is a righteous judge. He is righteous. And in his righteousness, he is fair to condemn us if we are not covered by the blood. If our sins have not been paid for, your sins have not been paid for by the blood of Christ, then he is righteous in his condemnation of us. See, we need to worship God because he is the judge. So why? Why should we worship God? Because he is holy. He is worthy to be worshipped. Because of his glory and his strength. Because he is creator God. Because he is judge. And this list could continue on. But just looking at this psalm, these are some of the main points that God shows us. That we are to sing a new song. That why are we here to worship together? It's because of these things. Because of who God is. Not because of you. Not because of me. It's because of who God is. In light of who God is. In light of who God is, we should worship him. We should worship him. It doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end with this thinking about him. But it leads out into action. That God has called us to an action. So God is worthy to be worshipped by singing to the Lord. By singing to the Lord. Verse 1 and 2. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." This new song that we're told to sing to the Lord is dual meaning here. I've heard many commentators talk about it in two different ways. One, the new song, a legitimate new song. So this beautiful thing that we do here is where we'll sing old songs, old hymns, but we'll also sing new songs. That's the beauty of God's word, that he's not done. We get to continually sing new songs to him. How he's working in our heart, how he's working in our lives. That we haven't reached the end of great songs. It didn't end with just John Wesley or some of the famous hymn writers. That there are still new songs to be sung about God, because guess what? He's an infinite God, worthy to be praised, and our words can continually change to glorify him. And so we get to have these new songs. We get to have the new songs that we get to sing, and we get to have the old songs that have great theology and that are sound. What a beautiful thing it is to be in a church where we can sing both of those. But this new song is not just about the new song of words. But it's the new song of our heart. That as a new creature in Christ, we have a new song. The song of the redeemed we just sang about. The song of redeemed that said, "Free, free, free. We are free." That is our song. That is our new song, because we were captive by our sin. We were enslaved by our sin. But in Christ, we are redeemed. We are set free. And we have a new song to sing to the glory of God. Are you ready to praise him? Are you ready to sing to him? Because that's one of the things we do when we gather together, is we sing that new song, the song of the redeemed, to be able to lift our voices to the great and mighty God, the one that has redeemed us. Why are you here this morning? Is it for you? Is it for someone else? Is it to fill a void? Because I would encourage you, let it be for the glory of God. Whether you're helping in the children's ministry, the student ministry, adult ministry, wherever you're serving, would it be for the glory of God? What if you're just sitting in here this morning? Would it be for the glory of God that you sing, that you raise your voice? We are redeemed. We have a lot to sing about. Let us raise our voices. Not only do we sing in response to who God is, but we proclaim, proclaiming His glory to all peoples. You'll see that this hymn is really a missional hymn. It's a missional hymn, meaning that this hymn is all about sharing the gospel, proclaiming the good news, evangelize the good news to all. Not just the people, to all the nations. In verse 2 and 3, and we'll look at 10 as well. But 2, it says, sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. That just don't do it one time, but it's a day-to-day thing. Because again, the beauty and greatness of God, it's a day-to-day singing of that salvation. Man, we need to be reminded of that. There are days where we get so consumed with self because there are things that are going on in our lives. We all experience hurts and pains, whether it be emotional, physical. We all have these hurts and pains, and it can sometimes be overwhelming. But here the psalmist is reminding us day to day, sing of His salvation. Because what that does is gets our mind off of us and onto Him. Because sometimes we can throw a pity party, right? Sometimes we can think, man, life is just so bad for me. I've heard this from my children before. One in particular, who's the oldest. But I've heard this idea of just how terrible things are. And then I'm reminded of myself and how sometimes I do that. I'm like that. I'll just think, man, it's just so hard. This is hard. This is tough. I can't hardly deal with this. What, God, just be here. Help me through this. And then I'm reminded of the beauty of God, to sing of His salvation. And my perspective changes. Man, it's amazing what it does when we get our mind off of us and onto Him, to sing of His praises day to day, of His salvation. In verse 3, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. Not just friends, not just neighbors, not just people you like, but all the nations, all the peoples. That everyone is to hear of the great and marvelous works. That this is a call for you and for me to proclaim the glory of God to everyone. But not everyone's not gonna want to hear this, right? I mean, we live in a day and age where everybody wants us, you have your life, I have my life. You don't infringe upon what I believe. I don't infringe upon what you believe. You know, you just keep what you want to yourself. But the gospel's not okay with that. God's not okay with that. We see that here. We're to proclaim it to the ends of the earth. We're to proclaim it to all the peoples. In Matthew 5. It says this, Matthew 5, 13 and 16 through 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That we don't have a silent faith. We don't have an individualistic belief system. We have a belief that is to be shared with all. Not all will like it. Not all will respond to it. But we're to share it with all. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Let us not be ashamed of the glorious works of God before others. There's many of us that would gladly share the good news of our football teams, right? Of if you're a UNC fan, do I have any in here? We've got at least one. If you know, there's some that would gladly sing the praises of their football team.
Let us be more proud of the gospel than our football team. Or if sports isn't your thing, let us be more proud of the gospel than our grandchildren. Or let us be more proud of the gospel and wanting to sing the praises of the gospel than our job. Whatever you're most excited to talk about, whatever you're most excited to let others know about, I really like food. So it's really easy for me to share about my excitement about food. If you've known me for a little while, or you've heard my story, one of the places I love to eat, and I'll sing the praises, though it's hard to do sometimes, is Taco Bell. Anybody with me? All right, I got some. All right, I love Taco Bell. It's one of my favorite places to eat, even though, like I said, it is hard to sing their praises sometimes. I'm willing to share that. But am I scared to share that I love Jesus? Am I scared to share the glory of God? Let us not be afraid of what really matters. Let us share what really matters. See, this psalm is about the proclamation of the glory of God. Let us, as people of God, do that. How can we who have been redeemed, ransomed, restored, forgiven, keep it to ourselves? Again, if we see God in the light of who He is, everything else pales in comparison. The persecution we may face because we choose to proclaim the glory of God or the gospel to others pales in comparison to who God is. If our eyes are fixed on Him and who He is, then it doesn't matter what other people will say about us. Man, I hear that. One of my best friends in high school, and we continue to be best friends, his name's Cody, and he loves Carolina football. I mean, he's very passionate about Carolina football. No matter how much junk I talk to him about Carolina football, he's still a Carolina football fan. That my words don't sway him from that. But how many times have I let the words of others sway me from speaking about the one thing that really matters? Let us worship God. Let us proclaim Him to all people. Then the next point there is, it causes us to fear Him. Fear Him. That's not something that is often talked about or really talked about much, but we are to fear God. In verse 4-5, it says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. He is to be feared above all gods." And in verse 5, "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." In this time, in this culture, they had wooden statues, or they had golden statues. They had statues made by hands. But we too have our own idols. Let us not think we're a whole lot better than the people of the Old Testament. We have our own idols. It may be family. It may be an idol that is a celebrity idol. It could be our job. It could be money. It could be the praise of man. Whatever our idol is, it is worthless. It is worthless. God is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be feared. What you fear will control you. If you fear how others will see you, you will act a certain way. If you fear, whatever you fear, God is worthy to be feared. But not man. Not money. Not death. There are other things that we will be afraid of, but God is the only thing that is worthy to be feared. Sometimes we can have silly fears. Like some people fear frogs. You know, how silly is that, right? Some people fear man and the judgment of man. Some people fear not having enough money. Some people fear life and death. See, here we see that God is worthy to be feared. All these other things are not worthy to be feared. Lastly, we're to give honor. Giving Him honor is how we worship Him as well. 7 through 9. It says this. Ascribe to the Lord of families of the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Here we see the honor is due Him. So this morning, as you have come to worship, I really would like for you to think about, contemplate. Ask the hard question of yourself of why am I here? Is it for me, for my glory, for the service of others, help me feel better? Or is it truly to worship God? I pray that that is your reasoning, that you can say this morning, that is me. I am here to the glory of God, that I sing the songs to the glory of God, that I hear the preaching to the glory of God, that I get to pray with other believers to the glory of God. But if you're in a situation where you're distracted and your heart is divided between the glory of God and whatever else you have, may He unite you again. May He make you whole again through His honor, to His glory. One of the things I was thinking through while praying through the sermon and studying was, do I leave this time of worship talking about what I liked or didn't like? Or do I leave talking about the greatness of God? Think about that for a moment. As your Sunday continues on and you go to lunch or you go into your life group, do you talk about more of the things that you liked or didn't like? Or do you talk about more of who God is, how amazing it is to see and read the truth of Scripture and to praise His name? Because I just confess to you, many times we'll go away, walk away from the sermon or walk away from the morning worship and talk about, now, I really like this, or I really didn't like that. And we'll talk about our likes and dislikes, not really ever mentioning the glory of God or what we see of God. I would encourage you this morning, think through those. Why do you worship? As Sean and the praise team come up, I want to close with this last point. The big idea there, you see, is life is about God and not me. I know that's not profound. I know that's not something that you haven't heard before. But is it true? Is it true in your life? Because many times we can make it about us. Many times when anxiety rises in my heart and mind, it's because I've made things about me. See, but life is not about me. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. We're to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to be down front. As we close this time of worship, we're going to be singing this song. I'm going to be down here. And if you want to begin that relationship with God, if you want to want us to pray together, I'd love to pray with you down here. But I'd love for you to stay in your seats as well and to do business with God. Worship Him right now. May this time, as we lift our voices to Him, may it truly be about the Lord. Father, I thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. You're an amazing God that we get to worship. Lord, You're worthy to be worshiped. You are holy. You are glorious. You are strong. You are Creator. You are the Judge. Lord, You're the only one that is worthy of worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing.